Good morning, church. And I'll say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. when we say praise the Lord, like in my country where I come from, we shout hallelujah, a thunderous one. So I'm going to do it again, and we'll respond like the Nigerian way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. I'm excited this morning, and I'm sure you're excited as well. Like, I'm excited for the great thing God is doing in the life of our college students, like in Canton, in Clarkson, and also Sunny Potsdam. And we trust in God for SLU. So, just a little intro. Yeah. So, my name is Victor once again. I'm studying for my PhD in chemical engineering at Clarkson, and I'm from Nigeria. So that's like Nigeria over there, and I'm from that state, like painted in like in dark prints, and that's my family. That is home for me, and I miss them. I can't wait to be reunited with them someday, like very soon. And I love, you know, background info about me. I love spending time with friends. I love playing soccer. And I enjoy laughing and smiling a lot as well. I know many people know about that. And and one exciting thing about me again is like dating Courtney. I don't know. If you know her, she's right there. Yeah. So this is like friends, soccer, Courtney, and yeah, so I enjoy spending time. So, as I said, I love being cheerful. It's something I like doing. But often I still find myself worrying about many things, you know. I worry about maybe school graduating with a PhD. I feel like, can I graduate? Will I graduate? And things like that. And I know college students are here. They all relate with it. Like in our academics, we all worry about things. Most recently, I was like worried about, you know, I'm dating Courtney. I'm excited about it. How will I tell my parents about this? Because certainly it's like a different culture. And I was not sure of what their response would be. And I worried a lot about it, but I just prayed, trusted God, and at the end, it wasn't anything. It was no issue. It was no problem. And and most recently, thinking about sharing today, I was like, what will I say? Like, how will I pass the message? Will the audience receive it? You know. I worried a lot about many things, but in my discussion with Jim, I just had this word in my heart, like reflecting over a passage we're going to share today. And it's all about not worrying and about things around us. And I felt like, yeah, maybe God wants me to share this message to the church today. And in my Bible, it's captioned, do not worry. And I see that as God's response to, you know, our questions of life today. Do not worry. And I'd like you to join me as we read from our text. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and there's just maybe a slight difference in, you know, the wordings, like from what you have in your Bible. Yeah, but the context is pretty much the same. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valued than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not as arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all this shall be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Can you join me as we pray? Dear God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your presence in our hearts, oh God. We thank you for the great things you're doing in the life of our college students. We thank you for New York Community Church and Potsdam community as a whole. We thank you for the various ways you've shown your love unto us and ways you continue showing your love to us, oh God. We come before you today to learn from you, to have a life-transforming encounter with you again. Father, I pray that you minister unto our hearts, unto our soul, unto our body today, and just pass your message across to your people and show them how much you love them, O God. Father, Lord, beyond my preparation, beyond my speech, O God, I pray that you touch the heart of brethren today and you show yourself mighty, O God. I decrease for you to increase in my speech and everything I do today. Thank you, Jesus, for your answer prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. So, as I said, we all worry about many things. Like here, we worry about our health, our living, our future. Those are things that are really, you know, important and dear to us. And it's just natural to worry, like, because, you know, we want to live well. We want to care about our well-being. And there's nothing bad about that. But it becomes really, you know, unhealthy when our worries are born out of fear, our ignorance of God's love for us. You know, when we don't know the God we serve or how much he loves us, then we panic, we fear, you know, we worry a lot, like in situations, you know, and that's when it becomes unhealthy. This morning, we're going to run through our passage today, which is one of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and we consider different questions of life that kind of, you know, relates to us today and what Jesus says about it. And from the background, we can say, like, Jesus Christ really talked about everything. Like, he talked about our needs, what really our worries and why we shouldn't worry about it. And, you know, he ultimately gives the question to the answer to the questions of life that we have today. And so we're going to consider some basic questions drawn out of our text. And the first I would say is like, what are our worries? You know, yeah, what are our worries? From Jesus Christ's teaching, it was more like, yeah, the worries are people's needs, like what they will eat, what they will, you know, drink, what they will put on. You know, those are just basic things if you can think of it. Like today, we may not really say, okay, we have food, we have abundance here. We may not worry about food. But in the time of Jesus, like that's one of the things like people just consider as, yeah, if I have this, I'm good. You know, food, clothing, water, and, you know. But today, we see that our needs kind of have grown way beyond that. Like, we all want to live a good life, like, want to be comfortable, want to have, you know, relationships, want everything to work. College students want to have best grades, you know, go out there and succeed and, you know, find the right person to date and just, you know, live happily. And, so our world today, it's way beyond what, you know, was obtainable in the time of Jesus Christ. And I remember from my economics class in secondary school. Secondary school in Nigeria is just like an equivalent of high school here. I came across this concept of Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And there we have it. So not too clear here. Yeah, so we have deficiency need and growth needs. And basic needs are just like things we need to survive. That's food, clothing, shelter. Then when you meet the basic need, you want to go higher and you start worrying about, okay, do I have security? Then when you meet that as well, you start thinking of something bigger. It goes to there's a longingness for love, affection, and belongingness as well. Like you want to be loved, you want to belong. And you know, I see this as maybe where we're kind of stuck today in life. Most people maybe are way above this part of, you know, the needs, and are now here. Like certainly in some part of the world, like people still care about what they eat because they don't have enough food. Yeah, but I think in our society here, most people would want to think about this, like how do I feed? Do people love me? Do I have a place to call home? Do I have people who care? You know, does the community care about me? And these are things that we just worry about sometimes and get stuck there and, you know, just don't have answers to our questions. Yeah, but generally, I see this as a good, you know, thing to motivate you to do things. But as Christians, I feel like this kind of humanistic model shouldn't be what drives us, shouldn't be what motivates us, like because no matter how hard we worry or try or push or get motivated, like it's certain that we can only find satisfaction in Jesus Christ. No, I like the worship song that says, Christ is enough for me. That's what we really need today. We cannot, you know, get to this peak, which is like self-actualization. Like, we cannot get to it without Christ. Christ said that without me, you are nothing. You can do nothing without Christ. So even though it's good to, you know, pursue, you know, excellence, look for things that are good, and hope for better things, like, we need to have it be behind our mind that we shouldn't be motivated by the world system, the patterns of the world, the order of the world. Rather, we should focus on Jesus, and in him alone, we can have the satisfaction. Yeah, without him, we can do nothing. So that draws us to, you know, the next question. Like, we shouldn't let the world worries about things that we can consider maybe earthly or so, shouldn't let it be our worries, then, or we shouldn't worry about it. Then we may ask, like, why shouldn't I worry about these things? Why shouldn't I worry about these things? And I would like us to read again from our text today, from verse 26 to 30. Why shouldn't I worry? I'll quickly run back to this so you can follow if you don't have the Bible, but we have Bibles like just in front of you. You can pick one to follow. And it says like, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in his glory was not as arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? So why shouldn't I worry from this verse? You know, when I came here, and like, I never admired nature as such because we all have green trees. But coming here during fall, I saw the beautiful trees and everything, and I just felt like, this is wonderful. This is amazing. I'm not used to seeing colored leaves on trees. I just see green things, so I assumed all trees have green leaves. But I saw so colorful trees here, and I just see God's love in his creation, you know. If God so loves, you know, his creation that he just makes them amazing, you know, how much more, you know, us is, His likeness. We're made in His likeness. So He cares much about us. So one of the reasons that we have a loving Father, a loving Heavenly Father who cares about us, and we can see, you know, His love, like, in the beauty of creation. And He loves us, you know, unconditionally. Another thing is, like, why we shouldn't worry is, like, if we worry hard, like, it doesn't change anything. You know, it won't solve the problem. Like, Jesus asked that, which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? So no matter how, you know, you worry about it or try to figure it out by your own self, like, you can still do it. You can do it. And finally is, we know our faith in Christ as well, like, should stop us from worrying. If we have faith in Christ Jesus, then we just be rest assured that He's there. He's going to take care of everything. He's going to take care of my needs. He's going to take care of, you know, those troubles, those health concerns, the concern about maybe your future or, you know, how to make it in life, you know. He just takes care of it. Our faith in Him would ensure we don't worry. I'll give you a personal example. Like, in college, like, while I was about graduating, senior year, like, I cared so much about even graduation, you know. I was wondering, would I graduate? Because I had this project I was working on, and I felt like I may not turn it in before the deadline, which means maybe I would have an extra semester. Yeah, and I worry so much about it. And on the other end, I was like, oh, what if I graduate? Like, what does the future hold for me? Would I get this job? Like, would I, you know, how long would I have to wait? Would it be a good one? And this just got me really scared. And it was like, there's no way, you know, to get out of this. I wasn't saying that. I had faith in Christ Jesus, but then I was just overwhelmed by my fears, by my worries, and didn't even think of Christ. But at some point, I remember that, yeah, you have a loving Father. He cares for you. Like, you can do it on your own, no matter how hard you try. And I trusted Him to do that for me. And, you know, when I realized that, I worried less and saved myself the stress. And, yeah, He took care of things. Like, yeah, I graduated. So, So this was my graduation picture with my sister. We graduated at the same time, and my parents, yeah, there. So God, you know, just takes care of our needs, our worries, when we hand it over to Him. We only need to just recognize that He loves us. We can't do anything about it. And, yeah, we trust Him to do it. So it's kind of, you know, great that we can cast our cares, we can cast our burdens on God, and He cares. You know, David, you know, a man after God's heart, several times had so many troubles, but he trusted God. He had every reason to worry, but he trusted God. And it was like, cast my cares upon Him, and He will sustain me. And even in the New Testament, Peter, in his letter to the early church, said, like, they should cast their cares upon God, for He cares for them, for He cares. So you shouldn't worry because you have a loving Heavenly Father. You shouldn't worry because, you know, you can't do anything about it. Yeah. And you shouldn't worry because of your faith in Christ Jesus. So now we've talked about not getting worried and, yeah, about many things, because essentially that's what the world cares about. That's in Jesus' time. That's what the Gentiles cared about. Yeah, so what should we worry about, you know? What should life be all about? Jesus asks that, is life not worth more than, you know, food and the body more than clothing? Then what is it all about? Jesus answered, like, 20:31 to 34, and He said, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your Heavenly Father knows that you're in need of all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So Jesus answered it all, like, what is life all about? It's not about food. It's not about, you know, what are my desires, my aspirations, and what I'm motivated to get out of life. That's not what matters, you know. What really matters is putting God first, seeking him. And what does it mean to seek after God, to put God first, and to seek after righteousness? Like, it's like, you know, seeking his kingdom, trusting in Christ, believing in him, and trying to follow his commandments, like, you know, just living a life full of Christ, a life motivated by Christ, not a life motivated by, you know, yourself or some theory from here. And so it's about setting aside the patterns of the world and just putting our focus on Jesus Christ. So seeking his kingdom and pursuing, like, righteousness. Yeah, I don't want to dwell so much on righteousness, holiness. Yeah, because we all know, you know, a lot about it, like the commandment, the Ten Commandments, you know, keeping them one after the other. But one interesting thing is that all the commandments are kind of maybe summed up in one, like what Jesus says, like love. Like, our love for God will make us pursue after him first above every other thing. Our love for God. And another is like our love for people around us. You know, I can say I love God and I don't like the person sitting next to me. Or I don't like my neighbor. Or I don't like my classmate. Or I don't like, you know, some group of people. That's not Christ-like. Jesus said, like, if by this all men shall know that you're my disciples, if ye love one another. And again, he said, like, if you are my friends, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So they go hand in hand. Like, we can't say we love God and not love people around us. And that in doing that, you know, it just helps us to keep all the commandments. Like, if we truly and sincerely love God, then it just goes down that way. And, you know, we can keep his commandments and just love him. Like, wholeheartedly. And another way, like I can say, we can show, you know, commitment, like, into seeking Christ's kingdom, like putting him first, like, would be just submitting, you know, our will to him. Yeah. Just trust him. Submit everything to him. It's not about what I will get out of this. It's not about the reward, whatever. It's not about the fame I'll get out of it. Like, it's about submitting my desires to God, like, just doing his will. Anything I'm doing, I should ask myself this question, that is this glorifying God, or I'm just doing it for self-gratification, or I'm doing it to receive some applause from people, or to make people know that, yes, he's doing this for Christ. Like, it should be, like, his will, not mine. Yeah. And again, another way is of seeking God's kingdom, putting him first, is seeking ways to promote his kingdom. You know, if you love Christ, you want to share that love with others. Yeah. Love, like, for me, I would say love is kind of fulfilled when it's shared with others. If you love and you don't share with others, then you just keep it to yourself. I don't think it will yield much fruit. It won't do anything, you know. We need to share it. So those are ways that we can see God's kingdom. And talking about this last point, there's ways we can promote God's kingdom. We can think of it, how can I do that? Like, what are the ways I can promote God's kingdom today? Victoria just shared about, you know, the Go team. You know, that's a perfect example, like, of how to share, you know, the love that Christ has placed in us with people around, like, with the world. Like, we know Christ, we just want to shout it loud and let everybody know about him and just take it to them. So those are ways like we can reach out with Christ's love, you know, to other people. So I have 3 points here. It's just like you can go, you can pray, you can give. We have the Go team already. Like, we ask to pray for missions, and we can also give, like, to support mission. But we need to understand that we are all ambassadors for Christ, and the Great Commission is like, go out there and preach Christ to people. Preach Christ with your words. Preach Christ with your actions, and just your relationship with people. Preach Christ. You know, it's not just enough to say, I can pray, yeah. I'll commit 1 hour to praying for, you know, the missionaries every day. Or I'm going to give my resources in abundance and I'll support the world. Yes, it's good. Yeah, but we should also, you know, create those opportunities to, you know, speak Christ to people. And sometimes we have the opportunities and we don't take them. So we also need to take opportunities like we find to preach Christ. Yeah. So right now I'd just like to talk about the other part of, as we said, when we seek Christ and put him, you know, first in all things, like things will work, like it will take care of our needs and all that. You know, some people kind of hold on to this and, you know, say, yeah, if I'm seeking Christ, so I'm doing his will, so things would work for good for me. But the bad news is that it's not always that way. Yeah, if you're seeking Christ, it should be out of your devotion to him, your faith in him, your love for him, not for things that you'd get in return. You know, last week, Jim, in his Waymaker series, was like Joseph in the land of captivity, put God first in everything, was always thinking about God first, he feared God, and promotion came. He didn't have to struggle for it. He didn't have to, you know, he didn't have any other motive. He didn't have some, like, motive behind his love for God or his fear of God. Like, he just, you know, did that because I love God. So we should put God first. We should love him just because, you know, of our faith in him. And, yeah, it will do it. I love to give another college example. You know, my college life so full of so many activities. Like, initially, I was, you know, just pursuing after excellence. I want to be the best in my class. And that was all that mattered to me in college. And I was not thinking of ways, you know, I didn't see myself putting God first in that situation. I was putting maybe my academics first, which is a good thing, like to put, you know, set things right. But that shouldn't be what, like, all that matters to us. So at some point I had to, you know, just tell myself, is it all about, you know, just studying, not having a life apart from your academics and school? Then I decided to trust God more with my time, serve better in his vineyard, and join small group in my church. We were able to, you know, help in church fellowship as a small group and pray together, encourage one another, and yeah. Even at that time, I had my best results in college, despite, you know, not having so much time, you know, for study as I used to in the past, when it was all about book, like just study and get the best grade. Yeah. So it's like we have opportunities around us to serve in many places. We talked about the small groups, like there are opportunities for us to serve and just growing Christ in fellowship, you know, with other people, encouraging other people. Like famous saying, like, iron sharpens iron. Like, yeah, it's a place of, you know, strengthening our faith, a place we get to grow. So today we may want to think about how to respond to God's word. How do I respond to God's word? And here I say, like, I remember, you know, about 2018, it's a big missions outreach, like for college students by InterVarsity. And I was there, like thousands of students from across colleges in the US and, I think other parts of the world were there. And the moment that stood out for me was the call to come out of Babylon, you know? Called to come out of Babylon. And we may ask, what's Babylon? Babylon is that system we've created for ourselves that just motivates us to get more and until we are caught, you know, in the web of wants and needs, and ultimately we're pulled away from, you know, our first love, which is Christ. And, you know, at that point, I just felt like, oh, maybe I don't have problem. I'm not materialistic. I don't, you know, I have some integrity and things like that. But then I realized that maybe, you know, you're also driven by, you know, your self-motive as well, like in your commitment to, you know, God, in your, you know, giving your time to serve other people and to make impact for Christ. And then I felt convicted and, yeah, I repented and, you know, I committed to give more of my time, you know, to doing things that would, you know, promote God's kingdom in my daily living, like amongst my friends, my colleagues in school, and as many people as I can come across. So at that point, I made that commitment. And yeah, today we can make the same. Like, we may have been, you know, driven by our self-motive, may have been living a self-centered life, and this is a call to come out, the call to trust God more and look for ways like to serve others. And at this point, I would like to have the worship team come up. Yeah, so this was a great time for me to, you know, just turn back to God and say, God, I want to entrust my time to you the more. I want you to, you know, just lead me and help me, you know, affect more lives, like, with your love, and just tell your story to the world so we may choose to, you know, make that commitment today. That's repentance from a self-centered living. Another is like, I can decide to trust God more. You know, have you just been trapped, you know, in your cares, in your worries? Are you burdened with a load of care? You can come to Christ. You can decide to trust him more today and live a life, you know, free of that stress that would certainly come from, you know, thinking of, you know, what next? What am I going to do with my life? And you know, the words, just asking those questions. The answer is in Christ. We shouldn't worry. And when we don't worry, we should trust God more. Today, you may feel like I need to trust God more with many things in my life. Like, you can make that decision today. So another way you can respond, like Jim shared earlier about small groups, like in this church and also in IV college students, you can, you know, go through the inserts in your bulletin and you find many small groups that you can fit in and, you know, just grow together in Christ with other believers and commit to serve God more. And finally, you may think that, I need a deeper relationship with God. You may have maybe had a couple of things about Christ, but you feel like I don't have this personal relationship with him. You know, Laurel was sharing about when she had that encounter with Christ and how it made a radical change in her life. Like, today may be your day. Like, you may feel like, I want to make a commitment to Christ. I want him to live in me. Like, I want him to be at the center of my life. This may be a time for you to consider that. And doing that, you just need to receive him as, accept him, like, as your personal savior, that you're, you know, lost in sin, and I want to come back, you know, to you, oh God. I want to come to you. and perhaps you know Christ already and you feel like maybe my first love, you know, I was doing those, my first love is now cold and I want to reconnect, I want to go back, I want to be on track again for Christ, you can also make that commitment this morning, like to start a deeper relationship with Christ. So if you fall into any of these, I would just like to give us time to think about it, like, what ways do I want to respond to God today? Like, do I want to hand over my worries to him? Do I want to love him more than ever before? Do I want to put him first in everything I do? And do I want to, you know, care less about me? I'll give us a moment to just reflect on this. Then we pray and have the worship team here. And perhaps you really want to pray about things, you know, that is bothering you or a commitment you want to make, like right after what I say now, like you would have the prayer team here. You can come to us and we'd be glad to pray with you and trust God together to help us, like, with whatever commitment we decide to make. So let's take about a minute to just reflect on his word today and think of ways we want to respond to him and just say short words of prayer for his help. We can't do it on our own. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for reminding us of your love for us again today. Thank you for telling us, encouraging us from your word to cast our cares and burdens upon you, not to get worried by, you know, things of life, questions of life, but to lead a life of trust in you, to live a life that will glorify you, that will put you first in all things, and to lead a life that would promote your kingdom and send forth your gospel to the ends of the earth, O God. I pray that you help us to respond positively to your word, and you lead us in the path of righteousness, and you help us every step of the way, because we cannot do it on our own, like, we don't have that ability, but we can trust in your grace, O God, to lead us, to help us, O God. I pray that your words, Lord, would find fulfillment in our lives, and you just bless us and you know, show your love, you know, in every area of life, like, and we just feel you, you know, working in us. And God, even when we're faced with difficult situations, oh God, when we can't feel you at work, when we can't see you at work, oh God, just make us have this understanding that you're actually working behind, you know, the stage and working things out for good for us, oh God. I pray that as we strive to grow together, like towards maturity in Christ Jesus, that you help us every step of the way, and you turn our hearts to you, God, until you become our only gaze, until you become all that matters to us, O God. And above all, that you grant us the grace to carry, to fulfill that great commission you've given unto us as believers today. Thank you, Jesus, for college students. Thank you for our campuses around Potsdam and Canton. And thank you for the ways you're going to move mightily in the heart of our college students. Oh God, we pray that you cause a revival, you know, on our campuses and turn our youths back to you, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.